Hebrews 4. Let us, therefore, fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. This is probably one of the most useful chapters for Christians, that we can rest in his promises. We can rest in our faith. We can rest in his love. In fact, he said he will rest in his love. You know, we go all the way through the Bible, go all the way back to the beginning when God created everything, and then we find two people in the garden and they had it made. Didn't they have it made? They did. Had it made. One rule. And we all think, boy, if I just had one rule, I could do all right. But only one rule, and they broke it. And don't you know that broke God's heart? I know that he had a plan before the foundation of the world. He had a plan. He already had, Jesus had already said, I'll go. I'll do it. Yes, that I'm with you. But when it happened, it still broke his heart. You know, we have loved ones, and especially as they suffer, we begin to pray, God, take them home. Free them from their body of illness and pain and confusion. But when they go, we weep because it breaks our heart. And though God anticipated that they would sin and he had a plan, it still broke his heart. But don't you know, all through the time when he was talking to Moses and all these guys in the Old Testament, and he would tell his people, y'all live right, live right. And they wouldn't live right. He'd say, all right, I got to do something about this. But then he sent his only begotten son. And Jesus died on the cross, and the Bible says he will rest in his love. You see, God, no, he gave us free will. He doesn't control us. But he can rest in this truth. He has done all. There's not a single thing he's left out to redeem us. He's given us the opportunity. Not only did he send the prophets to say it would happen, he sent Jesus that made it happen. And then he raised him up from the grave, and he showed him openly to all those people. They said, yes, it's true. And the faith spread across, and he knew that we would, even as we get saved, we still wouldn't be perfect. We wouldn't be as true and devoted and loyal as we ought to be. And yet he still rests in this. He did all. He gave it all. Even that crowd that was before him and those soldiers that were behind him as they had cried out, crucify him, and they nailed him to the cross, whipped and beat him. And Jesus said, forgive them, Father. Them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. They don't grasp it. They know not what they do. And so he looks at us. Remember what he told, who was that? Jonah? He said, Jonah, you want me to destroy Nineveh? They don't have the sense of livestock. They're dumb as beasts. You want me to just wipe them out? He looks at us and he says, poor things, don't know any better. Yes, we have the sense to do right, but we still have that inclination sometimes to do what's not right and to not do what is right. But God can rest in his love because he says, I gave him everything. I gave him every opportunity. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we won't be able to say to him, but you didn't give me enough chances. When a sinner stands before God in judgment and he's about to be cast out, I knew you not. He'll not be able to blame God for his plight because God has done all to give us the opportunity. But here in verse number 1, he says that we enter into his rest, that we enter into that state of rest, of peace, of joy, knowing that God loves me. You know, a lot of people that struggle with that. A lot of people struggle with the idea that God, Almighty God, the Creator, the Eternal God, could look in through history, send Jesus to die for our sins, and pick you out of all those people and says, yes, I want you. There are people that struggle with that. But God loves us. He loves you and He loves me. And yet we know we're unlovable sometimes. But God still loves us and gave Jesus to die for our sins. And He rests in His love. But in this verse, He says that we need to enter into that rest. We need to enter into that rest of His promises, rest in His love, and rest in our faith. His grace is sufficient. I'm reminded of that lady that said to me, "Pastor, there's a sin that I've committed." And she went back 40 years. She'd been suffering with this guilt for 40 years. "Can God forgive me?" Yes, He can. Not only can He did. He already has, because you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you ask forgiveness of that sin also. Our sins are forgiven. We are His. So it says, don't come short of that rest. That's what we're looking at. Don't come short of the rest. Now, what is the parallel here? Well, he's talking about the children of God as they left Egypt and they entered into the promised land, the land of rest, the land of milk and honey. But he goes on to say, and I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. He said, you know, there were some that set out on that journey with a promise, but they didn't have the faith to enter into the rest. They were given the hope. They were given the instruction. They saw God's miracles and His power and His wondrous works. But somehow along the way, in their grumbling, they fell short of His rest. And they did not enter in to His rest. So as we look around us and we have God's promises and we have God's word and we have support around us of others who believe and we see what God can do, let's not fall short of entering into that rest. Unto us, verse 2, is the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See, we can hear a lot of things, but do we have the faith to believe it? Do we believe it? I want you to know, I believe in heaven. I believe I'm going to heaven. I believe the book of Revelation tells us there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem. And I don't know if I'm going to be in New Jerusalem or in the new heaven or on the new earth. It doesn't matter to me, because there's a fourth place he tells us for sure is going to be there, and that's a lake of fire, and I'm not going to be there. I always heard tell of somebody, just give me a cabin in the corner of heaven. Well, I don't know if I go that far, but I don't know what God's got in store. I don't know where I'll be, but I know I'll be in His kingdom. And I have that promise, and I rest in that promise. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And I called out and I said, God, forgive me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Forgive my sins. God, I trust you. I love you. I give myself to you. God, save my soul. And he did. And I trust him. And I rest in that. I don't stay up at night wondering if I'm saved. I'm saved. I don't stay up at night wondering if I committed too many sins since I got saved and somehow fell off the scales and no longer is it balanced. I rest in that promise. Why? Because I have faith. Have faith in God's promise. By the way, I look at my life sometimes and I say, God, how did we get here? Because how many of you do that? You look back at your path and you say, you know, which part of this did I do something right or did I do something wrong? And how it directed me? How did I get it? God, thank God for where I am. But I just wonder, you know, looking back on my life, at what point was I making the right or wrong decision to get where I am? But you know what? I rest in that promise, in that assurance by the Holy Spirit of God that I am where I'm supposed to be. Looking back on that broken trail, I wonder sometimes how I got here. But I rest in His promise, and I rest in His power. You see, we got to mix it with faith. We got to believe it. We got to believe in His way. What is His way? You know, we can say we got to do His way, but what does that mean? Man, there's a whole book here, 66 books of the Bible. And you say, well, I don't know if I could pass a test. I don't know everything that's in there. I don't know if I've done it right. You know, Jesus said, he said, a new commandment I give unto you. He tells us that we should love one another as he has loved us, that we ought also to love one another. But he also said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Am I doing his work? Am I doing it his way? Well, here's the question. Are we loving? We have three words on the side of the building. Hope, love, and forgiveness. And the motivation for those words being there is that I believe in order to thrive in life, we have to be forgiven for the past. We have to feel that love in the presence, in the present, and we must have hope for the future. Those three in order to thrive in life. But you know, it's more than that, because it's not just that I have received forgiveness and received love and I've received hope, but also if I'm going to live for God, you know what I need to do? I need to give forgiveness, I need to give love, and I need to give hope. Then I know I'm living for God if I can do those three things. That's what it's about. He says in verse number 3, we which have believed, what's the next word? Do. 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 He didn't say will. He didn't say did. He said we do enter. It's a process. It is a constant process. We're going deeper in our faith. We're advancing in his rest. Now, I know we reach a point in our lives where we can no longer do what we used to do. And sometimes that discourages us because we think, boy, if I was just 40 years younger, boy, I could really make a difference. But you know, you can make a difference where you are. And you know what God expects of us is what we're able to do. No more and no less. What we're able to do. We do enter. We're entering into that rest. And you know, as we advance each step, we should be more and more in his rest, more and more at peace with his love and his plan and his will and his word. And then finally, guess what? Isn't it incredible to think about the steps on that journey? As we grow in faith and we grow in hope and we grow in rest and we grow in peace, and then finally we step over into that perfect rest. Where there is no labor. Where there is no worry. That perfect peace. When we finally step over that threshold into the gate of heaven. How incredible. We do advance in his rest. We do enter. It gets easier to walk in faith as we walk in faith. How many of you ever exercised? And the first time you started exercising, you said, boy, I just hurt. I don't know if I can keep doing this, but you kept doing it. All right, you kept doing it, and the more you did it, the easier it got. You know, it's the same thing with church. You know, you say, boy, you know, we really need to get back in church, and we need to go this Sunday. We're going to go to church this Sunday, and it's hard. When you're not used to it, it's hard to go that first Sunday. And then, oh, if you think, boy, I need to go Sunday night, oh, boy. And Wednesday night, man, I'm going to really go. You know, it's hard. On Wednesday night, we're tired. And it's going to be dark when we get out of church, dark when we go to church. And we could think of all kinds of excuses of why we can't go tonight. But you know, if you just commit to doing it, you know what you do? You just go. You just go. Sunday morning, my kids know, they don't ask, are we going to church today? Unless they forgot what day it is. They'll get up every morning and say, do we have school today? Yes, you have school. Oh, man. Saturday morning, they wake up. Do we have school today? No. We have church? No. Oh, boy. We get to just play all day and get up Sunday morning. We have church today? Yes. All right. And the question is not, are we going? The question is it open? Because we're going if it's open. And you know what? By doing that every Sunday, every service, we go. It's not as hard when you just do it every time. But you let it fall off just one service. It gets hard to get back in the habit. Yeah, I know. In my life, we've had those periods where, You know, as children, there were periods of time we never went to church. I went to church 9 months before I was born, but there were periods after that where we just got out of church and didn't go. And then all of a sudden, now we're going to go to church again. You got to get these three boys ready to go to church. And it was a little work because we were out of the habit. But the more we walk with him, the easier it is to walk with him. The more, if we'll get in a pattern of getting up and reading our Bible every day, then or read it before you go to bed. That's what I do most of the time. And so if you just get in that pattern of reading the Bible every day, not hard. That pattern of having your prayer time established and scheduled, it's not hard. But when you get out of the habit, it's hard. We walk in his rest, and the more we walk in his rest, the easier it is. We walk in faith, it's easier to walk in faith. Look what he says in verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today. When is the best time to get saved? Well, if you're not saved, today's the best time. When is the best time to turn my life over to God and just really get serious about it? Well, I'm going to start this Sunday. No, start today. Don't put it off. Today. Pray, God, today's the day. I'm giving it to you. I'm committing to you. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to let anything stand in the way. How many of you ever have plans and you have to break those plans because something come up? Now, I don't know how you are, but just about every day with every plan that I have, I kind of think to myself, now what can I come up with to break these plans? Right? What can I do to get out of this? I just, you know, because there's just a lot to do. But you know what the best thing to do is? Just don't even try to get out of it. Just do it. Just do what you've committed to do. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. So again, we talk about going to heaven and we've laid down our burden, our labor. But see what verse 10 is saying is that when we got saved and we entered into his work, we left our work behind. Our work is not our work. Our work is his work. Now we shouldn't be doing anything that God couldn't be a partner in. So we can't take God with us. We shouldn't be involved in it because we are God's workers. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Now think about what he just said. It sounds like we're working to rest. Well, I don't know about you, but I always rest better after I've worked hard. But that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is we need to keep our eye on the prize. We need to pursue that goal, that finish of rest. We need to pursue God in our work, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, again, what are we doing? We're looking back at Exodus, where they came from Egypt and they had hope and they had a promise and they could see God in the cloud or in the fire and they could see God's work around them. And yet they stopped believing. They gave up. What did they lose? I could tell you where they lost it. They went in at Kadesh Barnea. And they traveled all around. 40 days they traveled all around. And they came to the land of the giants. It was the last place they went. By the way, remember Caleb later on said, that was the last place I went. I love that place. A beautiful place. I want to go there. Give me this mountain, he said. That was the same place where everybody else lost their hope. And it was the place that Caleb said, this is the place for me. And they all gave up. They saw the giants and they quit. They got discouraged. And you know, there are giants in our lives and we can get discouraged in our lives. And that's enough for us to not reach the rest. We get so worried about what's going on in the world. I want you to know something. We could talk about the news. We could talk about the problems of the world. But I can't do a thing about China or Russia or North Korea or the border or the taxes or the fuel. I can't do a thing about it. So why would I spend my energy fussing about it when I could spend my time and my energy entering into His rest a little bit deeper? How many of you like sleeping on the edge of the bed? You know what's so good to me? Y'all don't tell my wife. But if she happens to be gone at night, I could take the whole bed. Now, I'll tell you the truth. When I go to bed at night, I have a pillow between me and the edge of the bed. And then usually somewhere in the night, I get some little feet, they're about this big, sticking in my back. And I end up having to push that pillow off the bed to make room for one more. And I can tell you what, I don't like sleeping on the edge of the bed. You know where I want to sleep? I want to sleep right in the middle and be able to put my arms back and move and turn and everything without running into anybody else. But look here. Look here. That's what he said. He said, there's so many people that are right on the edge. Wouldn't it be better to get all the way in? How many of you ever woke up with that dream that you're falling? Anybody ever do that? You're like falling. All the way in the middle of the bed. All the way in His rest. Lest any man fall, he says. Verse 12. He says, the word of God is quick. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about this. The word of God is quick. Powerful. Boy, isn't it? Sharper than any two-edged sword. What kind of battle are we supposed to be in? He's not saying use the Bible as a weapon. But he's saying that we need to arm our minds with the wisdom of God, so we can fight the battles that approach. He says it's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. The Bible, the Word of God, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Boy, if we get in the Word of God and get the Word of God in us, it will filter out a lot of those ideas. The problem with us is sometimes we get an idea and we want to chase that idea. And what we need to do is let that idea go. That idea comes up just like that, a little spark. I know I've told you this before, that our brain just has a little spark and that's a new idea. And then we think, oh, I need a pencil. And the spark went out. We were getting a pencil to write it down and the spark went out. But if we'll just seize on that spark and let it build and just work on it a little bit, then we go get our pencil and our mind is already on that path. We got to get our minds right. He says in verse number 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Oh, He sees it all. All things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He sees it all. He sees it all. He sees it all. 14, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us, again, the idea of fastening your seatbelt. Let us hold fast. Let us hold on to it. Let's not let go of it. Let's grip that. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Isn't it good? You know, I don't want to bring Jesus down to my level. Does that make sense? But to know that He was 100% God and 100% man, and to know that He had brothers that picked on Him and criticized Him, and He had neighbors that criticized Him, and He had friends that doubted Him, and even a friend betrayed Him. To know that He lived in a blended family. You see, those are things I look at with Jesus and I say, He really does understand us, doesn't He? it really can look at my life and relate to me. He's not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are. What does that mean? Well, it wasn't necessarily the exact same thing, but it attacked the same weak point that we have in our souls, the same cravings and desires that we have. It came from the same direction, to attack the flesh, to attack the peace, to attack the self-respect, self-control, self-discipline. Came from every angle, even temper. He was tempted in that, wasn't he? He was all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then he says this in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly. Now, when we say boldly, we use that word a little differently sometimes now. He's not saying demanding. He's not saying we walk up to God and say, now you're going to do this. That's not boldness. That's ridiculous. Boldly means we don't have to be afraid. Boldly means freely. Boldly means we don't have to go with fear. That's my Father. I don't have to go with fear. That's my Savior. I don't have to go with fear. He loves me. So when I go before Him and pray and present my needs and my weaknesses and my infirmities, I don't have to be afraid. Boldly approach to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find the grace to help in time of need. I obviously, this is not something we'd want to raise our hand for, but how many of us ever needed help but wouldn't ask? Every man in here could raise our hands, couldn't we? Needed help, but didn't want to ask. But you know what he says? He says, don't be afraid to ask. Come on in. Come on. He said, come freely. Come boldly. You don't have to come crawling. Just come on in. You see, the difference is when we approach God and the relationship we have with God is when we go to Him in that, I don't know if I could really ask for this kind of thing. He's telling us in verse 1, He said, when you come in here, I want you to relax. I want you to have rest. I want you to know that you're loved. I want you to know that you're safe. I want you to say what's really on your mind. You can't hide it anyway. You see, he already told. He said, the one we have to do with knows everything. It's all open. So when you go to God, just say what's really on your mind. Just talk to Him. We need to have the relationship with the Father that says, I trust you. I believe you. I rest in you. Let's stand. Father, we're so thankful that you do love us, and we're thankful for your word and for scripture like this that just assures us that you love us and you're our Father and that you've always had our best interest in your heart. Even through the struggles and the pain, it was always to make us stronger and better and more capable and not to destroy us. So God, we come to you in faith, asking that you will lead us through this week, each of us as we depart and go our separate ways. God, that the light of your word would go with us, that the power of your spirit would go forth and make a difference, that souls would be saved, and that lives would be changed. Dismiss us now with your grace, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.